Blog Talk Radio.
It won't be easy. No.
Scares, everyone. This is William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris, and I want to welcome you to this Valentine's Day special. That was Justin Hayward with Reach Across the Stars. And I played that specifically for a lady out there somewhere, Tigger. And as the lyrics go, I remember you. So always remember that. Alrighty, well, tonight we have our Valentine's Day special, and along with me is my special co-host from Wicked Little Things Blog, Miss Amy Russell, a.k.a. Miss Buttercup.
Oh, hello, Mr. Eric Morse. Thanks for making me practically sob there. That was sad.
What's
that? That's all right. I'll be your Valentine, Eric. I'll be your Valentine.
Buddy. Anyways, yeah, so... yeah, that song was dedicated to a certain someone that can't be with me on Valentine's Day, so, you know.
It shall be remain nameless, but I feel you. My Valentine's not with me either. I'm just hanging out with my cats.
Yeah, I'm hanging out with my new buddy, my stuffed grumpy cat.
See, I don't have a stuffed grumpy cat, but I do have a giant Maine Coon cat that's bigger than I am, and a very pregnant striper kitty.
Oh, lovely. So you got a full batch there.
I do.
All right. Well, guess what? We've also got a caller here, so I'm going to let our caller in, and let's see who our caller is.
Good evening.
Our caller number 779. Area code, you're on the Wolfpack Presents.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
This is your very own Dylan Grumlin Scott. Hello.
Hi,
how are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you? Happy anti-Valentine's Day.
Anti-Valentine's Day. I'm on your team.
Right.
Yes. I heard you talk about a stuffed grumpy cat. I, in fact, have my stuffed grumpy cat right on my bed. Where is he? He's buried in here somewhere. Hold on.
Hell to the yes.
Who needs making beds anyway? Okay, here he is. He's a really good listener.
I love.
He's really quiet.
I have been waiting to get a grumpy cat for the longest time.
I actually got mine as a birthday gift. My friends know me so well. He's a very good listener. Yes.
Yes.
He's very quiet. So anyways, yeah, Valentine's Day. The thing is that, I mean, for some people it's heaven, for some people it's hell, and for other people it is the most fucking annoying day of the year.
It really is.
It's so commercialized, and I don't think many people realize that the holiday is originally about the beheading of a saint. So that's my favorite. That's my favorite little bitter Valentine's Day fact.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I'm unsure if St. Valentine even exists. Like, they're unsure that he even exists, but that's
There is
a St. Valentine that did get beheaded, but we don't even know, like, it might be an invention of the church. I'm not sure. I was trying to research it the other day, and that's
The one that we're talking about is the Saint Valentine who went and married Sp- soldiers of Claudius II when Claudius II told, made a law saying that his soldiers could not be married because he wanted them to be strong, and he felt that love made people weak.
It does. He was right.
Well, all I know is the day after Valentine's Day is where all the chocolate goes half price at Walmart.
That's what
so
I like.
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part.
Yep, mine too.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow the half price.
Sell it.
I'm going to be camping outside of Walmart waiting for Walmart to open.
Do you have snow where you are?
Yes, there's lots of snow, but I'll bring lots and lots of coats.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be all right. I'm pretty sure. I'll be good. Anyway, speaking of horror, I was seeing a lot of hype.
Fur all over him.
What?
I said you look like Cruella DeVille with all the fur all over you. You remember that coat that she had with all the fur? Funny as shit.
Whose coat? I have a fur coat. It's in the back of my car. I won't wear it. I don't like coats. I wear hooded sweatshirts all winter.
My winter is black sweater. I love black sweaters.
I'm an odd New Englander that walks around with no coat, and everybody's like, aren't you cold? No. Well, kind of, but
It's way easier when you don't have a soul. It's way better. You don't feel anything. You're good. I'm half blonde, half ginger, so that means I'm really dumb and I get angry a lot. But since being half ginger, I don't have a soul, so I don't technically have to keep warm, which is really nice.
I was
going to
ask you how many souls technically you had, like if you had a half a soul, quarter of a soul, because you're half ginger.
I would say half. There's a rumor that how many freckles a ginger has is how many souls they've taken. And I have a lot of freckles, so I don't know if that counts as like my own, or if, I don't know if I claimed it for myself, or I'm just keeping it. Like I'm a soul bank. That's my theory.
If you're borrowing them, like Freddy Krueger does in his chest.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna one day throw them around like Oprah. You'll get a soul. If you look under your chair, there's a soul.
I'm going to have to agree there. That's a wonderful idea.
They need some souls. Send them to them.
I'm sure everyone's heard of the haunted houses opening up on Valentine's Day. Does anyone have thoughts on that?
I think that's they should just be open all year round. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. As much as I love haunts and working in them and going to them, it's a lot of work to keep up just for the season. But it's great to open up for Valentine's Day. And, well, what else do they open up? Christmas, Scare House in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They open up for Christmas, I think, or they have a Christmas-themed haunt. But there's a lot of ways that haunts stay open year-round, which I think is pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's cool. I mean, if you have a haunted attraction, I mean, shit, why not keep it going all year? I agree with that because, I mean, horror fans love horror all year long.
Good to know.
Oh, yeah.
I frequent Pennsylvania, even though I don't live there.
Well, I mean, did you see Jimmy O'Brien's post that he's thinking about doing his own haunted attraction, and he's going to do it all year long. And it's going to be a Chainsaw Sally haunted house thing. And April's going to be involved with it, too.
Cool.
That sounds interesting. Did you hear that there was some talk of Marilyn Manson opening a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights?
He absolutely should open haunted houses everywhere in every city.
He should. Alice Cooper's done it. Rob Zombie's done it. I think Kiss did one at one point.
I think that would be really cool.
I think that would be interesting. Did you ever see walkthrough videos of the Alice Cooper Welcome to My Nightmare font, where they incorporated his music into it, and as well as Rob Zombie's, like, it just played out? Like, they took the lyrics literally and turned them into scenes, which I thought was really innovative and different and cool.
Wow, I gotta check that out.
That's all I do all day long is watch haunt walkthrough videos on YouTube.
But they, yeah, that was in Sonoma, where they had it, you know, here in California, and it was too far away. But, oh, my God, yeah, I've heard some great things about that Alice Cooper one.
I've never been to California, sadly.
Well, you would have loved it right now because, I mean, last few days it has been 70 degrees.
I'd say so. I could wear shorts.
That sounds great. You know, today it was negative 70 degrees, so at least it felt like it, so absolutely.
And there's
terrible.
Like 10 feet of snow. Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I live in New Hampshire, so, yeah.
Oh, Lord, God bless you.
Yeah, I'm originally from Massachusetts, but I'm in New Hampshire right now. And, yeah, there's like, I don't know, 730 feet of snow outside my window. I don't even know that I any longer have a window, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the deep, deep, deep suburbs of Chicago, Illinois. So they're all six of us are suffering through the 3,000 feet of snow outside.
We need
to buy my co-host, the horror sex symbol, Christopher Hyland, was talking about that. How snowed in they are in Chicago.
Awesome.
Pretty
I hate
great.
Snow.
I hate snow, too. If I could personally blowtorch every single snowflake of snow, I would. I don't care if it would take me forever. I really just want this to be over already. Like, where I was at, we had this one point where the snow stopped, and then, like, the sun showed its face for, like, all of 5 seconds, and I was like, okay, I can start wearing, like, hoodies now. And then it just hit us in the face with 10 feet of more snow, and not fun.
Did music fall down from the heavens and it was like, oh,
yeah,
that it
Christ.
Was like snow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. God, and here I'm been spending the day sweating. No, God.
Can we get some of that? Like, we're fine with that. We'll trade places with
you.
Totally.
Give me an injection of Northern California. Fuck, I mean, hell, we're in a drought right now. I mean, it's horrible.
You can come to my house and take all the snow, and California will no longer be in a drought at all. Can I bottle it and mail it to you? That might be expensive, but you know.
Yeah.
Be my Valentine's, my anti-Valentine's Day gift to you.
Hey, Amy. You want to know the funny thing about that opening song that I did?
What's funny about it?
The actual
it made me
title.
Sad.
The actual
What's the
title
about?
is the theme from Star Cops.
You weirdo.
Great television series though. Star Cops, and the thing is that the actual creator of the show absolutely hates that song.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I know. That's Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. I love Justin's music. I mean, he is
nice
fucking awesome.
Nice white satin.
Yep.
I could sing, and then, like, everybody would run away for shelter. There would be no lovers left in the world. It would be like the song of the siren.
Yeah, that's fun. It's that I do, you know, I can sing Nights in White Satin because I know all the lyrics.
Me too. I to everybody else's misfortune, yes, I do know all the lyrics.
That is funny as hell, though. And the thing is that my sister sits there and says, please don't sing.
What is everybody's favorite stalker movie?
Oh, my. There's so many that I like. Oh, God. I speaking of stalker movies, I still haven't seen that one with Jennifer Lopez. I think it's called The Boy Next Door. But then again, I feel like that's all of her fans.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yes. Did you see the one where the barely legal boy is stalking Jennifer Lopez, who's, like, 85, and she's, you know, the housewife, and she has, like, a kid or two, and the boy next door.
I didn't even know that existed. That's
I didn't either until, like, yesterday, because I don't watch movies from, like, more than 30 years ago. Like, I'll watch movies, like, 30 years old or older. Like, I think the most recent movie I've watched was, like, from 2003. It was called Party Monster with Macaulay Culkin, and it's all about the club kid scene of the 80s and 90s, and I was all about that. And there's Marilyn Manson in it as a drag queen transvestite performer, so I was all over that. And at one point, he's high on LSD and driving a big truck, which was hilarious.
Him in Hard Candy, too, where he plays the pervert at the bar, only for, like, 30 seconds, but it's just still good.
Yes, yes. Did you see him on Sons of Anarchy?
Mm-mm, I don't watch that show.
What? Cool.
I just don't have cable.
My house does have cable, but I just don't bother to use it.
I do have a suggestion, though. This is actually, I watched a dark comedy the other night that was, well, it was about a serial killer, but it's funny. The Voices, and there's a Scottish cat in it.
Nice.
Okay.
It's Ryan Reynolds, and he has a cat and a dog, and he's a serial killer.
Oh, wow, that sounds fun.
But he's a really nice guy. And he just,
that does
you know.
Sound like my biography.
Yeah. I think a lot of serial killers are nice guys. Jeffrey Dahmer seems like a fine chap.
Yeah, if you don't piss him off.
You know, I would have been fine. Like, if I had lived next door to him, then no harm would have come to me. I'm not a 15-year-old boy. I would have been okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, people always said about John Wayne Gacy that, oh, you know, John Wayne Gacy was such a nice guy. He was such a pillar of the community and all that.
I would have went to barbecues at his house. Just wouldn't have brought my son.
Those are all probably the old people who lived in his neighborhood.
Thanks for getting rid of the annoying kids in our neighborhood. Thanks.
We appreciate it, Tony. Thanks.
Now we don't have to keep shouting, get off my lawn.
Yeah, pretty much.
Does that make you want to watch Monster House at all? A little bit?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, good stuff.
It was so strange, and it was like one of those movies that, like, kids could watch, but like adults would get nightmares about it, too. It was really cool.
Yeah. I like those type of, like, cartoony things that you can watch, like, because, like, I'm a mom. Well, my kid's old. He's 18, but yeah, like things that you can watch with kids, and like it's scary to them in a different way.
Yeah.
They make a lot of things like that now, so adults and kids can watch it at the same time and get something different out of it.
Definitely, yeah. Did you ever see Coraline?
Yep.
Oh,
I was terrified of the nether parents. Like, I had a dream when I was probably like, I think I was like 11, that there was this woman in my house, and she had yellow eyes, but she was a clone of my mother. And my mother was like, it's not me if she has yellow eyes. Don't go near her. So it just made me think of that. I was like, ew, button eyes. They're going to kidnap me.
I think that was one of the first horror novels that I ever read was Coraline, and that's what started all of my writing, was reading Neil Gaiman's books, and that was really weird. Like, I finished, because the book is really tiny.
I didn't read Coraline, but...
Oh, it was fantastic. If you're a reader, it's an experience. It really is quite the book. And there's a lot of really subliminal themes in the book as well as the film, but the book especially, because it's a lot darker. Since Henry Selick had to sort of not only put it in his vision, but also sort of make it more PG, because the book would, if it was converted into from its original form to a film, would easily be PG-13. It has a lot of really frightening elements in it that are very real world.
Yeah, they had to make it a bit more palatable, huh?
Definitely. And it's going to give you more nightmares, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you heard that they went and they canceled the animated version of Clive Barker's Thief of Always because they said it was going to be too hard, you know, too hardcore for kids, which sucks.
I don't know. I think kids can handle a lot more these days. The strange thing is there was a lot of really dark stuff when I was a little kid, and when you were too, Eric, like, just, like, look at Snow White. That is a horrible, terrifying story with a guy who kisses a dead chick in a box.
I
was like,
oh,
she's so dead and pretty. Let me give her a kiss. Let's make out. Hey, baby. You
that
can't object.
They know, Amy.
Dead girls don't cry.
Oh, well, the thing is, I mean, hell, you look at Peanuts, you look at the Peanuts Thanksgiving special, and it promotes cannibalism.
All right.
Oh, fun.
Who doesn't like a little cannibalism?
Yeah.
Yeah, because think about it, Woodstock's eating turkey.
Oh, I never realized that. Oh, my God.
A little bit of wholesome entertainment for the whole family.
I never liked Charlie Brown in the first place. I knew there was something off about him and his crazy little world. I knew it.
Yeah, I was a bit creeped out by the parents and their never language.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So you guys are hanging out with Grumpy Cat. I'm hanging out with my real cats. In 700 feet of snow.
Oh, well, I also got the Grinch here, too.
All right.
I haven't put him away yet.
Well, why would you?
Why? Because he's Christmas.
Yeah, but, you know, he's part of the decor. How the fuck do you say that?
Potato, potato.
Tomato, tomato,
well,
yeah.
Anything is part of my decor. I mean, shit, I got dragons, I got monsters, I've got Star Trek ships, everything. Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you bastard.
Oh. I don't have any toys anymore, really. Like, I used to have more fun toys. Like, I sold my dead doll on eBay, and now she's gone.
Oh.
Somebody made me an Amy doll for my birthday, and was probably scarier than the dead doll. It looked very much like me. Let's just say it was very scary.
It's
I
like the doll in Coraline. It's all coming true.
It is.
It's all real.
I am one of the Butt-Nye parents, I think.
That's very interesting.
And the thing is that now they're offering people their own bobbleheads and everything. So it's like you can sit there and have your own little bobblehead person go bobble, bobble, bobble.
Is there anyone that's that narcissistic that would get their own bobblehead? Because I'd be kind of freaked out, because every time that someone would go to hit the head, I feel like my neck would start to pop.
Like a voodoo doll?
Yeah.
I didn't make the Amy doll. The Amy doll was a birthday present. And they painted, they put my makeup on it. They went and got fabric that was like this fuzzy material that I had like a penchant for at that time. And they made, like, a little cardigan and little a little skirt, and I was just like, oh, it does look like me. This is creepy. My son made me get rid of it. He's like, I don't like the mommy doll. Because he was little at the time. Please get rid of her. She's scary. And the dead doll. Same thing with the living dead doll. They both had to go on eBay. He was afraid of them.
Oh.
Well,
growing
I mean,
up, I had a ventriloquist doll that was given to me for a Christmas present for some fucking reason. I don't even know why, but it was, what was his name? It was a 1940s
Slappy.
Radio show. And
was it Slappy?
Charlie McCarthy, or is that what his name was?
Oh,
yeah.
My God,
I think
Charlie
so?
McCarthy?
Charlie McCarthy, ventriloquist doll, and that is 10 times scarier than Slappy from Goosebumps. Oh, Lord, God, it was just, it was terrifying, and I would just, oh, my God. I remember when I was little, I would chase the little neighbor kids across my lawn with ventriloquist doll, and they would come over. They
Ew.
Never came back.
I wouldn't come back.
I was a terrible child.
I bought my little brother. I had gotten a babysitting job, and I was 16, and my brother was like 11, maybe 10. Well, he was almost 11. And I got him a Slappy head with my babysitting money for Christmas to be an asshole. So, you know,
oh
so you could sleep
God.
All alone in his
oh
room
God.
And have like, it was Slappy's head with, like, those big green glowing eyes. And he'd be like, I'm afraid of Slappy doll. Can you take it out of my room? I'm like, I got that for you for Christmas because I'm your sister and I love you.
Believe it or not, I've actually got a Slappy figurine and it's sitting right across from me looking at me.
Fun.
When it was on TV, the TV episode of Goosebumps, as opposed to the book, they made him have red hair, like curly red hair. And Slappy's got black hair and green eyes. They ruined him.
Yeah, I know they did. Oh, my God. But yeah, I've got all the Goosebumps figurines. I even got Cuddles the Hamster.
Oh, no. My favorite Goosebumps book growing up was One Day at Horrorland. And when it came on, the TV version came on for the first time, I was just freaking out. I'm actually holding the copy in my hands from when I was very little. And it's a lot different from the original version because they cut out a whole scene in the TV show version. I think it's like...
It's a game show, I think.
Okay, the game show, they cut out a lot. The game show was just demented. Did they have the slide scene in the TV show version?
No.
Because they had, like, this really
so.
Crazy... I that turned out my fascination for everything carnival and clowns. And I think it's because I was desensitized to clowns at a very early age by accidentally watching It. And I was like, well, this is terrifying. But I eventually got over it. Because I was a really wimpy kid. I was always afraid of everything. And then Goosebumps was just like, it was my frontier. And the more you're scared of things, the more fascinated you become with them over time. So that was just my obsession with horror.
Cool.
I got in trouble for calling the Freddy Krueger hotline when I was like 9. Yeah, it was a lot of money. My mother was not happy, and she's like, who called the Freddy? I didn't. And everybody's just looking at me like, really? In my house, like, my brother was like a baby. And, you know,
yeah,
like, my mother, my father.
I mean, you had to call the fucking thing 6 times to get a full story.
I know. I was like, wasn't me. And they're just looking at me, yeah, it wasn't you.
Yeah, I did one story, and it was like, this isn't worth the money. Damn.
But when you're 9, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It was worth every second when I was 9.
My favorite part of the Nightmare on Elm Street series was when it was, I'm cross between when Johnny Depp gets sucked into the bed, or when the anorexic girl gets fed food until she explodes.
Oh, you didn't like when they put the chick in part 3, they put her through the TV, welcome to primetime, bitch.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot about that. So
I like that
one, guess,
too.
Like, I'm going to have to make, like, a top five list now because there's so many good kills in that series. I mean, I'm a fan of the slasher age and the 80s horror movies because particularly how bad they were. Like, Freddy vs. Jason, not my favorite, but I loved it because it was terrible. All of my favorite horror movies
are terrible. Yeah, and it was terrible in a special way in the 80s. And I think that, like, the newer villains they come up with, like the bad guys in horror movies, they're not as charismatic.
No, definitely not.
And
no.
It's like, oh, that guy's just evil. He doesn't say anything cool when he does stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what I liked about Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If he
Hannibal
had something cool to say, definitely. He'd be like, ooh. I'll eat your liver.
I guess that's why you like my writing there, Amy, because my villains always have something cool to say.
Yes, they do. They're charismatic and like they've always got something good to say before they do what they do.
If you read
my
interview with Damien on my blog, Damien was talking about how he really does relate to Hannibal in a way. And I could really connect. Like, a lot of things he said, I could relate to. I think because we're really the same person in a different place on Earth. But
I kind of like Hannibal. Like, I would hang out with Hannibal.
I would, too.
Like,
I would.
And
I would
he
bring
wouldn't
gun,
do anything
I would,
to me.
You know?
I wouldn't bother Hannibal. I'm not going to get in his way. I fully understand that you don't get in Hannibal's way.
So, which Hannibal are we talking about there, Amy? Are we talking
not the Hannibal in Manhunter. Not the Hannibal in the show.
Are we talking about the movie Hannibal, or are we talking about the television series Hannibal?
We're talking about the movie Hannibal, and not Manhunter Hannibal, because I don't like him either. He's boring.
No.
Okay.
He's very
boring.
We're not talking about the King of Hannibal. One.
We're talking about
Hannibal Rising.
Yes, we'll take him too because he's
okay.
That kid that played him is French, and I've actually watched interviews with him saying that he just copies Anthony Hopkins and just does all his mannerisms and gets that character down. And he does well with that. Like he's got it. Looks nothing like him either.
No, he doesn't, and he has
but
sort
he
of
does,
that
he
joking
does it
smile
up.
With him.
So good. Like, he had that down.
Are there
I
any
can't even pronounce his name.
Got...
He's French. I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Do you have any... Are you a fan of any recent horror films?
Recent. I'm trying to think of... I haven't seen a lot lately. Like, I'm more of a fan of, like, the old school horror movies in the 70s and 80s and, like, before that. But I'm trying to think of any suggestions I might have that I've seen this year. I liked when Animal Dream. That was interesting. It's a werewolf movie.
Okay.
It was different. I'm trying to think of... Oh, Eric, help me out here. What have we watched lately?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We just talked about this last night.
Because the thing is that everything meshes together.
Yeah, what did I saw something the other day that I liked, but a lot of other people didn't like. It was called Julia. It's sort of
I've never
like
heard that one.
What? It's sort of like a rape revenge thing, but it's like more real world than like I Spit on Your Grave or anything like.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. A lot of other, but I don't know. I just feel like. That, like, sarcastic style is lost that went on, like, before. and that whole I will say that a lot of Spanish horror movies that are current are good. I'm just trying to things that have like the feel of The Devil's Backbone.
Yes. Well, what was the one that Dan was talking about the circus or whatever, and it was really bizarre. He brought it up in the interview, and I watched the trailer, and I was like, wow, this seems really interesting.
I'm trying to think.
Damien also liked As Above, So Below, the one in the French catacombs.
I didn't see that one.
But he has
some choice selections. Trying to think of... I liked The Orphanage. That wasn't very recent. But that's along the same idea. It's got that whole creepy Spanish horror film thing.
Yeah.
And there's a... Oh, there's a Mexican one I just watched with a cat in it. And it's got a Spanish title. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I can't remember it.
Night of La Noche something. Oh, crap.
it's called La Crap? Good.
It was called La Noche Crap. I do have Google at my fingertips. Yeah. I never leave my computer.
Neither do I.
Yeah, she's got that special head thing that hooks, you know, her laptop's hooked to it.
It's my laptop is in my head. I don't actually have a laptop. I have a desktop and I have a tablet. Oh, not Night of a Thousand Cats, because that was something.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun.
I don't know about something. It's about a guy in a hot helicopter that goes around. He's got all these cats, and he kills people and feeds them to his cats. But it sounds great in theory, but you wouldn't go with the guy in the helicopter. You just wouldn't. How do I pronounce this movie? Manegro que la Noche. Is that Night of the Black Cat?
Nice.
That sounds about right. 2014.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
It's very weird. Like, you have to watch it, and then you'll understand. Like, I can't even explain what it's about, because I would ruin the whole plot.
Okay. I was dragged off to go see the Ouija movie.
2 minutes before this portion of the show is going to end. And then the thing is, we're going to be coming back in about 15 minutes after that, so you're going to have to call back in.
All right, Fantab, we will do that.
Yeah.
All right, great.
So that's when we'll start the second half of the show.
Of the Anti-Valentine's Day Special Part 2.
Yeah. And it's amazing. We're having a great anti-Valentine's Day show, and we're talking very little about Valentine's.
Yes.
Well, we can talk more about Valentine's Day, about the lack thereof Valentine's Day.
Yes.
We talk about the teddy bear and the heart shaped box.
No.
And where's my flowers, you bastard?
You bastard. Oh, that just made me think of, I don't know. We'll talk about that later. Death Becomes Her.
I love that movie. I'm doing my Mnuchin imitation. But you're doing your bastard.
I don't even remember... When Meryl Streep, what movie Meryl Streep says that in, you bastard? Oh, She-Devil, you bastard.
She has one of those accents where it's like manufactured. She just